to New Zealand Vegan Podcast, episode 38. I'm your host, Elizabeth Collins, and this week I wanted to address something local, a New Zealand story, a front page story. And it's something that I think is a really important, it's something I'm really trying to capitalize on, to use as a tool or a way of getting the abolitionist method out on a mainstream story. It made the front page of the New Zealand Herald, which is our national newspaper, on Thursday. And the story is that Greenpeace staged a protest because it turns out, and I didn't know this, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but New Zealand dairy farmers import about 1.1 million tons of palm kernel, which is related to the palm oil industry. And they import about 1.1 million tons of it a year, which is like a quarter of the world's supply, apparently, to feed our dairy cattle. Now, 95% of our dairy cattle are fed with grass because we still have a lot of land, which is, you know, changing because it's getting more intensive. And there's pollution and there's topsoil damage and runoff. And, you know, we have deforestation here in New Zealand to support our dairy industry. I mean, when you see New Zealand and it's all these rolling hills, that's because of farming. It used to be forests. But anyway, that's the way it is now. But bottom line is Greenpeace staged a very sensational protest. They tied themselves from the anchor chains and places on this enormous boat that was bringing in the feed. And they, you know, the police had to go up in cranes and cut them free. So they boarded it. They tied themselves to the anchor chain and the pilot ladder. And, there was potential for injury. Nobody got hurt, but there was the potential for it. The Federated Farmers president is saying that they're pirates. And it's all sort of about, you know, of course they move the focus to that. Apparently the people involved were imprisoned and they're going to be charged with unlawful boarding of a ship, and they're going to be fined up to $2,000. So 14 times $2,000 is $28,000, and that's probably going to come out of, you know, Greenpeace's donations. What I want to do is, what I'm trying to do is, when I first heard about this story, I was actually at work, and I saw it on the front page of the Herald, and when I read the first few lines of the story, I was shocked because I didn't know that we were importing all of this palm kernels. I mean, I only very recently learned about palm oil and what's happening in Malaysia and what's happening to the orangutans. So, I mean, I don't claim to at all have my finger on the pulse. I had bought palm oil products. So really important to get this knowledge out there. I really appreciate people who break open these stories. Whoever broke open the palm oil stuff, put all the pictures on the web, you know, made it available. So people like me, I refuse to buy anything that has palm oil in it now. You know, I'm grateful to those people for doing that. I'm grateful to Greenpeace for informing me that New Zealand dairy farmers are importing a quarter of the world's supply of palm kernels. Now, palm kernels are a byproduct of the palm oil industry, so the problem, as I said in this article that I wrote, is twofold. But my very first question, of course, as always, was, well, were these protesters vegan? They're protesting Fonterra, which is the big New Zealand dairy company, and they boarded one of their boats. And I thought, I bet you they weren't, you know. And that means that they're all, you know, consumers of dairy. Now, I did contact Greenpeace and managed to get through to somebody and said, I want to know if the protesters were vegan. And actually, the gentleman paused and said, well, that's a very good question. I said, yes, I know. I wish more people were asking it. And he said, well, I'll get back to you. So he got back to me and said, well, some of them may have been vegetarian or vegan, but we really can't establish it. They think some of them were. I mean, bottom line is they could easily find that out. They just have to contact them and ask. But that's, you know, I have to give credence. I mean, he did. That was the official reply from Greenpeace. So the official reply from Greenpeace is, he's pretty sure some of them were either vegetarian or vegan. Can't really confirm how many or if any, or they're pretty sure. Anyway, as we know, vegetarianism includes dairy products, especially in Western countries, especially in New Zealand it does. So I really don't care if they were vegetarian. That's, you know, doesn't really make the point I want to make. The point is were they vegan? So obviously, here we have another example of, you know, really a necessity for the abolitionist approach to be voiced. Because I went and wrote an indie media article finally, and I actually contacted the Herald. I was going to call them. I cannot figure out how to call them. And I was going to say, listen, what about this new angle? Obviously, my angle is that anybody who consumes dairy products and is furious at the farmers for the way that they're importing this feed to feed the dairy products needs to take a really good look at the products they're consuming, and let's see who's, you know, really to blame. I hate the word blame, and I don't want to blame anybody. I think we all need to just wake up and confront the problem. So everybody's, I'll read something from one of the articles. This was on Thursday. It happened the day before that, actually, so it was actually Wednesday that it happened. Well, the Prime Minister doesn't care. He says he's not going to stop imports of palm kernel because it's used for about 1% of feed in New Zealand. He says it's a waste product. In my opinion, it's not leading to deforestation. And on that basis, I have no intention of intervening. I mean, I got some facts and figures together because I'm really trying to figure out what I'm dealing with down here. And 65% of our exports as a nation is animal products, is farming animal products. Like dairy is a huge one. Obviously wool, lamb, you know, the meat of the animals. And we also export a lot of shellfish, and we export a lot of fish, mussels, our New Zealand mussels. So, you know, I'm dealing with a country, I don't know if that's applicable to any other country in the world. I mean, I really don't think it is, but I never claim to make absolutes because I'm very, you know, I don't do a lot of research. So 65% of our exports as a nation is this. So I think that's pretty huge. So, you know, we're all going to have to wake up, all of us. So my angle is, you know, why are we blaming the farmers? Why is everybody mad at the farmers? Because I know for a fact that the majority of people who are upset about this are not vegan by default. I know that because the majority of people in the world aren't vegan. The majority of people in New Zealand aren't vegan, overwhelming majority. So, you know, I know that they're the majority of people protesting are vegans. So I wrote an article, and I sent it to the Herald, and I asked them if they wanted to take a look at this angle and say, you know, why are we blaming the farmers when all they're doing is just trying to satisfy our demand? I mean, as the population grows, and the farmers are trying to be cost effective, and they want to make money, and they're just business people, and we want to, you know, we don't want to pay, you know, if they raise the price of milk and cheese and all this through the roof, there'll be a huge outcry, and everybody will complain and stuff. It's like, you can't have it all. I mean, you want cheap dairy products, they're going to do whatever they can to satisfy that demand. They're business people, they want to make money, they want to make profit, so they're going to do it anyway. But they're also, you know, they do think about their consumers. They want to be competitive. So they're doing everything that they're doing is to satisfy our demand for dairy products. So what blew me away is the amount. 1.1 million tons of palm kernels. Now, when I spoke with the Greenpeace representative, I said, is that an accurate figure? Just because I was too lazy to do my own research. And he said, well, that was what was done in 2007. So in 2007, officially, according to Greenpeace, we imported 1.1 million tons of palm kernels. And palm kernels are like a waste product of the palm oil industry. I guess after the palm oil is extracted, the kernels are left and we're buying those up. But a quarter of the world's supply. And just so you know, 95% of the dairy cows' diets in New Zealand is grass still, because we still have this huge land to people ratio. The majority of our land is for farming. And so it's only 5% of the dairy cows' diets in New Zealand that is supplements such as kernels. And it's only 1% of those other supplements, according to these statistics in the Herald, that is the palm kernels themselves. So that just lets you know the astonishing amount of dairy farming, you know, the huge rate of production of dairy farming that occurs in New Zealand. I mean, we're 95% of them are grass, 1% of the other 5% of supplements is the kernels, and yet, just for that 1%, we're importing 1.1 million tons. So we really, you know, New Zealand exports dairy products all over the world. So it's the world's demand for dairy products as well that causes this. It's all our demand for it. And the thing that makes me really sad is that, you know, there's the entire real issue is lost here. The real issue is all, you know, lost. The real issue here is, why are we demanding animal products? You know, we don't need to eat them. Veganism is the answer to this problem right here, right now, to this particular issue. Now, obviously, it's a twofold issue, because palm oil is used in a lot of vegan products, especially in New Zealand. I was quite shocked, actually, after I was woken up and given the information about palm oil. I had a look at all the stuff I'd been buying, and it all had palm oil in it, soaps and all this vegan stuff. So, you see, that's why I know for a fact that people, even people who think they're being conscientious and pay attention to things, like I myself, I try to think I'm conscientious about these things, you know, they don't know unless it's sort of blown up and they're told. So, even though I know, I mean, Greenpeace is very misguided with regard to their activism, but, you know, I think that any activism that is single issue like this, I mean, this issue is about the deforestation in Malaysia and Indonesia and the devastation to the environment for the orangutans and tigers. But nobody is talking about the devastation to our environment in New Zealand from dairy farming. And the statistics on that are pretty horrific. I've started to do some investigation in it because I need to educate myself in order to be an advocate. I need to educate myself so that I can educate vegetarians down here, because they're just the way I was with palm oil. They probably don't know, because nobody's telling them, because everybody thinks it's too radical to tell people these things, you know, the truth, you know. I disagree entirely. So I'm starting to learn about these things, and this story just happened to blow up now. And it makes me really sad, because here we go once again. It's speciesism at work. And it's not even deliberate. You know, nobody's thinking about the dairy cows and their calves and what they go through on a daily basis. I mean, it's just as bad as what the orangutans and the tigers are going through. Nobody's even considering the dairy cows. Nobody's even mentioned the devastation to our environment from dairy farming, which is pretty horrific. Some of the figures that I've been discovering are pretty astounding, and I'm going to use them to compile some kind of. I want to make a pamphlet. I'm a little bit long-winded, is pretty obvious. So I'm not quite sure how to make a concise pamphlet. I'm going to study some others and I'm going to try to come up with, you know, a similar thing to other vegan pamphlets, but related to New Zealand, because, you know, as we know, people seem to think that if they see one type of statistic and it's a farming in America or something, oh, that's not happening here or whatever like that. So I do want to give some local statistics, and I need to do my research and stuff. It's not my strong point. Hopefully I'm going to get some volunteers, but it's highly unlikely at this very moment. I'm still working on that. So anyway, I'm babbling, but yeah, I was very struck by the story, and I wanted to take advantage of it. I mean, I am going to be all over these things. I am going to try to become a regular. I want the Herald to know who I am and say, oh, it's her again. Eventually, I want them to publish one of my angles because it's just so important. It's so important. I mean, what's happening to the forests over there is just unbelievable, and that's also palm oil consumption. But they're not even talking about palm oil consumption. They're only talking about the kernels that we're importing for the dairy cows, and they all eat dairy products. So they want the farmers to do what? I mean, to satisfy their demand, And they're not talking about the palm oil and saying, by the way, we really shouldn't be buying palm oil because that's in everything. I mean, so for example, the World Wildlife Fund showed that Wilmer, which is the company that we're sourcing our palm kernels from, owned 81,000 hectares of palm oil plantations in former rainforest land. Palm oil plantations are dead zones. They're just wastelands, and the rainforest, as we know, I mean, the abundance of life. So it's all of these things built into one, and everybody's missing the point. Nobody's saying we should stop buying palm oil products and we should stop buying the dairy products, because everybody just kind of they it's sort of like that's just like a to them is like, I don't know, maybe I think they think it's easier to focus on this. Well, I'd like to know what they want the farmers to do, because the farmers are trying to satisfy a growing demand for their products. I'm not, excusing the farmers' behavior or saying that they're being, as ethical as they could be. Obviously, they're just capitalists. So, what do you expect? So, I'm not, it's not about that either. It's just about, let's really, really get to the root of the problem. Let's really, really look at what's going on here. That's what's going on. And wouldn't it be great if that was a story? I mean, wouldn't that make people think? I publish it on indie media. I don't know how many people are going to read it. Got some comments, which is really heartening. And there was some, there's some comments on here about economics and things like that, which is not my strong point. So there are people who are saying, well, talking about, well, the fines and pollution charges, and they made some fair points, but my that's you know that that's all kind of like still focusing on byproducts of our consumption. It's like, yeah, we could talk about who gets fined and why the consumers shouldn't be fined even though we're demanding the product. So anyway, the point is always getting missed, and it's almost like the what they call the gorilla in the room or the elephant in the room. So there's this huge amount of uproar over this one specific thing, that the New Zealand dairy farmers are importing palm kernel from these terrible plantations. Nobody's discussing the fact that palm oil is a huge product that's used over here. And I think that does need to be part of this dialogue. I mean, where are the farmers getting these waste products from? It's from an intense amount of palm oil production. And the main thing that I wanted to bring up in this story is because it was about the feed for the dairy cows is, everybody's eating dairy products who's protesting this. So let's really try to use these to wake people up. We can just use these opportunities because there's just so many of them. And if the Herald, if I eventually get our message out there somehow. I mean, I'm not discouraged. I mean, eventually we're all going to have to face it. I just want it to be not when it's too late. We're running out of time in a way with regard to the environment. So, my angle is always the injustice that's being done to all the other animals on Earth. And also the environmental injustice. So everybody's really upset about what's happening to the tigers and the orangutans, and rightly so. But nobody's sticking up for the dairy cows, and I'm tired of nobody sticking up for the dairy cows, especially if you think of the incredible amount of dairy farming here. I mean, I can't imagine how many cows that means. So, and we know what their lives are like. It's absolutely horrific. And the New Zealand vegan. Oh, I have some good news as well. I'm gonna make an announcement now. I was supposed to do it at the beginning, and I was just really like wanting to talk about this, so I didn't do it. First of all, I finally engaged in debate with a whole bunch of people in New Zealand who are involved in, I've talked about this, I'm on an email group, and there was the usual staff. I basically said to people, I really don't agree with promoting welfare reform. I think it's morally non-consistent with the theory of animal rights, and there was a lot of really heated reaction. I think I was just being honest, but I was accused of being fundamentalist, extremist, militant, aggressive, confrontational, slanderous, and I can't remember the other ones. And it was very draining, but that's okay. And anyway, the conversation, at least it happened, and it grew, and everybody got involved, and the bottom line is, at least it finally happened, and I actually managed to find two other abolitionist advocates. Well, hopefully they'll become advocates, but definitely abolitionists, and people, two, they actually came out in support of me, because it was mostly just me and Sam and Jordan who were doing it, and I sort of took the opportunity to really lay it down, and people did get very upset. And I was, like I said, called all those, names and everything like that, but, that's okay. I mean, that's pretty normal. And I think, things have died down and everybody's sort of like, at the very least, like I say, I pulled two abolitionists out of the closet where they'd been hiding, and, I won't mention their names, and they never participate on the vegans chat group that I'm on. That's because it's all welfare stuff, which is probably why nobody participated on it, but it all just kind of happened, and it was over a period of 3 days, so I'm very, very glad that it finally did, and even though there was some very negative things that came out of it, I think overall it's positive. I mean, the negative things are the usual negative things, like I say, I got called names, and got told that I don't care about people who are saving animals, and the usual, but anyway, that was really good. So, number one announcement, I'm finally got some responses, finally had the conversation out in the open, everybody laid it in the line where they stood, and most people were very good, and even though there was some heated discussion and some people didn't want to get involved and complained that the discussion was occurring because they didn't want to be involved in the discussion, they just preferred to be, to talk about food and diet and things like that, and they sort of didn't like the fact that their forum thread was being taken over by all this really heated stuff, and it didn't last very long. I mean, they can get back to their other, the usual stuff now, because it's good. But the second good thing that came out of that is that the New Zealand Vegan Society is coming out of hiatus. I mean, I'm really grateful. It's actually other people who are really doing all of the legwork. I aim to do as much as I can to help them. And it's going to be a vegan society, and they very kindly invited me to write articles from the abolitionist point of view. So there you go. I mean, once all the sort of initial stuff gets out of the way, I find that people are going to allow me to do that in this thing. So that's great. The Vegan Society is going to, as soon as it comes, gets up and running, I'm going to post links and everything. I'm not quite sure, what's going to happen. It's not going to be a government sponsored society or anything like that. What we really want it to be, and I believe that they're sincere, and I certainly, really think that the people involved are really, really great advocates. They do advocate veganism. It's a resource for vegans. It's to learn about diet. It's to learn about what veganism is. It's the Vegan Society. I don't know if they're going to promote. I'm pretty sure that they will. I mean, there's one big animal group here in New Zealand Safe, and they're going to definitely put them as links and whatever like that. There's nothing. I've already said my piece and everything like that. So the bottom line is, it's going to be a resource for veganism. They want the angle to be veganism. They don't really want all these debates to go on about welfare versus abolition. So I don't plan to go on there and write articles for the e-zine criticizing PETA or criticizing these other groups. I mean, You know, I wanted them to allow me to write from the abolitionist perspective, and the abolitionist perspective is critical of all these other groups, but there's much more involved as well. For example, this piece that I did on the Greenpeace movement. I mean, basically, my article was just like, I would really like to know how many of those protesters were vegan, and everybody who's protesting about this, I wonder how many of them are vegan, and let's just take a really good look at what's really, really going on here. The problem is not, you know, the farmers. I mean, it's all of us, and they're included as well. The problem is the demand for animal products. That is the problem. The demand for animal products. And in this case, also the demand for palm oil is the problem. So it is, it's us. And I'm really hoping that I can pull some more people out of the closet with this article. It really depends on how I sort of just got on indie media, and I couldn't, like, every time I tried to post a picture, it didn't work. And so, like, this stuff is, like, really a lot of effort for me. I'm not very savvy at it. So it took me hours to just get this one piece up because I kept trying to add links and stuff and it just wouldn't publish properly, so I ended up just doing a plain one. There's no pictures or anything, and I'm hoping, you know, and I did get a couple of people commenting, and I mean, I don't want to be accusatory or anything. I mean, it's just, let's really face what's really, really, really going on, all of us. And you know, as we've said before, in a vegan world, we know that there's going to be environmental impact. I mean, we're not claiming that it's free of, you know, impact, that it's free of consequences. We're not claiming that. We're not claiming that it's faultless, but it is the best option that we have. It's the best option that we have. And the amount of injustice, cruelty, suffering, and death that it will eliminate is just overwhelming. You know, 56 billion land animals a year are slaughtered for their products. I mean, that'll be gone. So that's pretty huge, okay? And then as Roger said, if we have more of a social, you know, we have a more conscious revolution towards other life on Earth, we will be pay more attention in the things that we do. And you know, it is a revolution of the heart, as Professor Francione very nicely put in a recent article that he wrote. So I'm all about this angle. That was what I'm really, really pushing down here. And anytime anything like this comes up, and it will come up a lot, New Zealand is an animal agriculture nation. There is a lot of consequences along with that, a lot of consequences. I've been really trying to look. I remember an article from last year before I was really doing anything, where a whole town in the South Island, their entire water supply was contaminated, and people were getting sick from the local dairy farm. And the statistics are unbelievable with regard to water contamination from dairy farming and deforestation and things. So, you know, not to mention the horrific lives. You know, nobody's exempt from this. And it would be great if all the farmers would have the epiphanies and turn around to us and say, hey, we're not going to make these products anymore. So whether you demand them or not, we're not going to do it. And we're going to make vegan products. And you're just going to have to suck it up. I mean, I don't think that'll happen, so that's why I talk about us, because they are making money, it is their way of life, and why are they going to change when they are making a very good living at it? I think there are some people who are troubled by what they do, and the reason they have to push aside their empathy and steal these babies from their mothers, throw them into trucks, I mean, I think that the only way to do that on a daily basis is to look at them like things, look at them as objects. Don't allow yourself to see that you're stealing a newborn baby from his mother to be slaughtered horrifically. They wouldn't be able to do it if we didn't, I'm not going to say we're forcing them to do it, because I think that that's going a little far, but I mean, I have empathy for everybody, for all of us. We're all this violence and all this terrible atrocities. They affect us all. And I can't imagine what it's like to be involved in that. I think that from a very young age, they're taught to deaden their emotions. So, anyway, it's another very misguided, very confused event. We have these young protesters who are, and these young people are so full of passion and so full of righteousness, not self-righteousness and superiority like we keep getting accused, but they really, you know, they've probably been given all the facts and figures, but nobody's given them the real, the facts and figures they need to be given, which is that the reason all this is happening is because we all eat dairy products. It's just laughably, you know, simple, and yet it never even comes up. So the only reason I am able to see it is because I myself have been educated. I've been, you know, my mind has been open. I've been learning these things from other people who have thought of this stuff by themselves. I never would have thought of this by myself if it wasn't for other people teaching me how to look at look at the problem this way. So, I mean, I'm not a genius. I am lucky enough to have been introduced to another way of looking at these things that really makes a lot of sense. And I want to pass that on, you know. So I'm really grateful to people who can look at something like this and come up with these ideas on their own. It takes a couple of people and then they sort of help us to look at that. And then we go around and we say, hey, you know, why don't we think about this? You know, we all do it. And there's the whole movement. Nobody's doing that. If only the Herald would allow me to do that. It really depends. I mean, Fonterra is a billion-dollar, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, 65% of New Zealand's export is animal products. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just mind-blowing. So the New Zealand Herald will weigh up their profit value or their sponsorship. I mean, so it's all, you know, that's why I always act on a community level. Whether the Herald picks up my angle or not, you know, it makes no difference to me. I'm still going to go around in the community with this angle. I've been saying this to everybody. I'm like, do you hear about this, you know, Greenpeace thing? Don't you think that it's a little ironic that nobody was vegan, or that, you know, look at all the damage that dairy products is doing, you know, not to mention the fact that of the suffering and just the immensity of, you know, to satisfy this demand, you know, that we have, because we want to eat ice cream and we just want to eat cheese. I mean, it's insanity. It's utterly insane. My mind just can't fathom the insanity of it. I'm like, how did we get here, you know? But here we are, and let's get out of it. Let's get out of it. Let's get away from this. It's insanity. All right, so anyway, I'm going to post links to these articles from New Zealand Herald. I'm also going to post a link to my indie media. If anybody has any suggestions as to where else I should post this angle, please tell me. The thing about the Herald is, on the actual story itself, there's no comment. There's actually no comment section. Let me see. I wonder if I go to... There's got to be a place where you can comment on here. Like, I must be wrong. Anyway, I'm going to find out where you comment, and I'm going to post that as well. And anybody who has a spare moment, can you please go on there and let's wake people up to this, and once I figure out how to do it. So I'll put that on my blog, and I'm going to put the articles on my blog, and I'm going to put the link to my indie media page. So anybody local who's listening, or even anybody international who, I mean, there's so much to do and everything like that, but that's my angle for this week. And the more, you know, as much as possible, I'm going to keep contacting the Herald. I'm going to bring the abolitionist approach down here and try to get in the mainstream. I'm going to try to wake some people up to it. I think that, you know, the people are starting to sort of wake up. And I have some other really good news. I finally got my little street stall going. It's very, very small. It's just the beginning. And the best news is that I'd been fighting for like 2 months with Auckland City Council to get a street trading permit. because I really didn't know. I knew that I could probably go out there and just like insist on my right for free speech and stuff like that, but I figured I'd give it a go trying to get that piece of paper so that I didn't have to stand there and sort of, you know, I'm really, really trying to change the image of animal activists in the world and in New Zealand. So, for example, what Greenpeace did now, you know, I don't want to make a whole big deal about what they did, but, you know, they've just sort of done something that's quite dangerous. They're now going to be charged as pirates, and I can't say it wasn't for, I mean, they did wake me up to this, and it is an astonishing statistic, so that was good, but, and maybe, you know, maybe Roger's right. I mean, the only way for them to get on the front page, unfortunately, is to shackle themselves to the two, you know, to the anchor chain. I mean, we're talking like one of those enormous boats the size of a building, you know, so they were like dangling from these chains that are the size of, you know, like, I mean, a big person's thigh or something. These chains are like huge and stuff. So I know, I mean, this is where it is, I guess, like Roger said, you know, you have to, so like we were saying in our interview, we were talking about trying to get in the news and stuff. They have to do more and more radical things. Maybe if Greenpeace hadn't done this, they wouldn't have made it to the front page. But in reality, what good is it going to do in the grand scheme of things? People are still going to eat, you know, dairy products, and the demand is still going to happen. The Prime Minister doesn't care, and he's not going to stop the imports. And, you know, what really is going to come out of this, you know? If they had done all that as vegans and then said, you know, look what the dairy farmers are doing and we need to stop eating dairy products, I don't know. I'm not willing to do those kinds of things because I feel like it marginalizes us. Because I want to reach everybody. There are people who really go for this stuff, but I think that they would equally go for a front page story where nobody was hanging from an anchor chain. Even a radical, as long as the message is out there, you know. They just do these things because they figure there's no other way to do it. Well, I think there is other ways to do it. I think we can do it. We just need more of us, you know, insisting on this message being out there, you know, demanding. I mean, in this capitalist society, if we want to play the game, we can play them at their own game and demand these stories. We need more vegans. We need more vegans. We start making a demand. We can start having a voice. I'm urging more vegans to come out, hopefully in support of this angle that I'm trying to create over the story before it dies down. Make people think. I want people to open up the paper in the morning with their morning coffee with their milk in it and their breakfast with their milk all over it. And I want them to have been people who are debating furiously about this issue and how terrible it was and all the devastation to the orangutans and, oh, the, you know, the poor tigers and poor Indonesia and all that. And I want them to open the paper and be confronted with the root of the problem, which is the milk in their coffee. That's my goal. So anyway, I got sidetracked again. All right. I got my stall going, but the best news is I was fighting with Auckland City Council. Well, not fighting, but I wrote to them and I said, how do I go about getting permission to set up a stall in the streets or in the parks so that I can give out information? Information. So they wrote back and they said, what kind of information? And I said, animal rights and veganism. And I said very clearly, I'm not selling anything, because I'm not. I'm not asking for donations, because I'm not. I just want to be able to distribute information that's free and is in a peaceful way. And I very strongly said, peaceful, creative vegan education. And I said, I think it's beneficial. I'm promoting peace. I'm not inciting any kind of radical, violent activity. And they said, well, okay, well, can you send us some of the stuff you're going to be giving out? So I sent them Peaceful Prairies, How Do You Say, Please Don't Kill My Baby. And those ones are really, really effective. The face of that cow is just, oh my goodness, everybody stops short when they see that one. So I love that pamphlet. So I sent her that and I said, this is the kind of thing I'm sending out. So I got a reply a couple of weeks later quoting a bylaw that said you're unable to, under this bylaw you're not allowed to, we're going to quote this bylaw saying we're not going to give you permission, in other words, because you're not allowed to give out samples of, oh no wait, I hadn't sent her I hadn't sent her the literature at that point. I just told her what I was going to be doing. She hadn't seen the literature, and then they sent me this bylaw, and I wrote back to them, and I said, well, you know, according to the free... I said, first of all, I'm not giving samples of her anything. This has nothing to do with sales, so that doesn't count for me. It's free information. And I said, and this is just to give you an example, this is what I'm going to be giving out. So I waited and waited, and then they said, they wrote back and said, oh, well, we're going to review it, because I was right. I mean, they couldn't... The thing they quoted me was incorrect. It didn't apply. And there is a Free Speech Act in New Zealand that allows you to do this stuff, but I didn't want to be fighting and being thrown off property or dealing with property owners and not have some kind of backing. I mean, I would have done it eventually. If they kept saying no, I would have had to have done it. I would have had to have gone out there, and then every time the police came over or the security guard, I would have had to say, I'm going to use my right to free speech to do this because it's in the Free Speech Act. And, you know, and I would have done that, but it would be so nice, I thought, to just be able to pull out a piece of paper and say, I'm allowed to be here. Auckland City Council says I'm allowed to be here. I just thought that would be just a really great, you know, thing to have, you know. So I kind of was giving up on it, actually. And other people were telling me, just do it. And, you know, I was like, yeah, I think you're right. And then I kept calling, and then it was kept getting delayed, and I'd call back, and she'd say, oh, yeah, we're still reviewing it, and oh, it's going to be done by the end of this week. And then I'd ring at the end of the week, and oh, no, it's going to be done at the end of next week. And then I got the permission, and I got two of the best locations, well, one of the definitely the best, like my dream location. I mean, there's a place in New Zealand called Aotea Square. It's a main center plaza in Auckland, and it's actually going under construction. It's under construction at the moment, which is quite unfortunate, but hopefully that will, even if it's still going for a few months, by next year it'll be done and I'll be there, you know. And it's the main gathering place. They used to have a huge market on Saturdays and Sundays, which I think they've stopped, but it's like the main plaza. I mean, all cities kind of have like a main plaza, and Aotea Square is our plaza, and it's in Queen Street, and it's even better, it's right opposite the university that I'm going to, where I'm trying to start an abolitionist vegans group. So I can be right in front of the university. So I'm going to promote my group next week. I get to go and meet with all the other group leaders, and then I'm going to do my group table, and they're going to give me a great big table because I don't have to, you know, they're going to provide it, and I can promote my group and try to get some members. And then on top of that, I can go out in front of the university. And the best news of all is that they gave me that location, first of all, close to Queen Street, which is the main drag, and it's in the, and they gave me another location, which is kind of up, and I haven't really checked it out yet. I don't know why they gave me that location. It's called Swanson Street, and it's up, sort of up this side street. I'm not really sure if I'll go there. And then they gave me another location, which is a beautiful plaza, a beautiful square called Queen Elizabeth Square, and it's very quiet and everything, but it's a place where people go to sit and eat and smoke a cigarette or to talk in their lunch break. It's right outside the mall. And if I'm a regular fixture at these places, people are going to get curious and come over to me. So I went out and I did it for the first day. And it was a very positive, very, very positive experience. I didn't do Aotea Square because they're doing construction there. But hopefully on the weekends, this was actually a Friday because I had the day off. So hopefully on the weekends they don't do construction and I will go up to Aotea. But I'm allowed to be there 7 days a week from 9:30 to 5:30 legally. And there's nothing anybody can do about it unless I break some of the rules. And I'm not going to break the rules. So I sat there for a few hours, and finally one of the security guards came over, and I knew they would, and they'd been watching me. You know, I was just sitting there with this little table. It's a very small little table because I have to carry it on the bus, but I cram all the pamphlets on it, and I've got all my information ready. What's being displayed is like abolitionist approach and Peaceful Prairies ones, and I've got a couple of Sam's ones, like New Zealand egg cruelty, just to sort of for people to see New Zealand and stuff. And I've also got some information from the vegan restaurant, because more good news, a vegan restaurant opened in Auckland. It's from Supreme Master, who's been promoting veganism and peace all over the world. And it's a purely vegan one. It's the only one that I know of in the entire city. It's fine. I mean, there used to be one at the castle, but fortunately they closed down because it was, they built a motorway and it got bypassed. So really sad, because that's the best vegan ice cream I've ever tasted. But anyway, a real vegan restaurant, and they promote this. Now, their pamphlets do say vegetarian in them, and I always tell people, every time you see the word vegetarian in this pamphlet, it means vegan. Because in their culture, vegetarianism means veganism in the Eastern cultures. In our culture, it doesn't. So I say to people when I give them that it's a beautiful, glossy, 3-page, big A4 size, full of information. And it's got environmental information, a lot of environmental information, which I'm lacking. So that's really good. And it talks about animals and peace as well. And it also has information about other general things to do with peace, like drug abuse and alcohol abuse and the devastation to societies. I mean, this is a really great sort of group of people. And they've also got a DVD that's free. So I've got free DVDs to give away. Everybody loves a free DVD, right? So I've got free DVDs. And I've got cards for the restaurant, which is right around the corner and up the hill. So I can say, go and have a vegan meal. And the food is unbelievable. It's just so good. And it's all vegan. I don't even have to think. I only eat there. And it's my birthday dinner. That's the problem with my family solved. It's like, now we have a place to go. We can go there. So it's been a really, really, really good week. I'm really, really, really happy. So I'm allowed to have the stall. Oh yeah. So the security guard came over and, he's like, what are you doing? And I just immediately pulled out my official permission and he checked it all out and he was like, well, Auckland City Council. He's like, okay, good. And then he started giving me advice. He's like, why don't you sit? He said, well, not a lot of people come here. Why don't you go over there? And I was like, well, I'm not allowed to go there because I'm only allowed to be here. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he said, why don't you have a big sign? You can attract more people. And he was like, really cool. Because once he realized that I wasn't a problem for him, once he realized I wasn't going to be a pain in his neck, he was really supportive. He's like, what are you promoting? And I'm interested. And then he did say, well, it's a choice. He said, are you vegetarian? I said, I'm a vegan. And I guess he knew what that was. And he said, well, it's really a choice, isn't it? And I said, well, no, I don't. I started to sort of say, well, you know, I really think that it's more of an obligation. But obviously, I didn't say those words. I mean, you know. But then he got busy. But he was a guy on a walkie-talkie who was asking, well, what's she doing? And he was like, she's just got a stall on animal rights. And the guy was like, well, you know, how long's she been there? Or how long's she going to be there and stuff? And that was his superior who'd been obviously watching me and trying to figure out what I was all about. So I'm glad I had the patience to go to Auckland City Council because they came through for me. They came through. I'm allowed to be at Aotea Square or at Queen Elizabeth Square. And if I really do a good job at those places and don't cause any issues for anybody, I bet you they'll, you know, if I apply for more places, they'll let me do it. But I'm quite happy with these places. If I'm there every weekend, I'm going to be part of the scenery and people are going to be, even New Zealanders who are very shy, like a lot of people just kind of didn't even look at me. They're very, very hesitant to sort of approach you or they just sort of pretend you're not there because it's awkward. It's some sort of weird embarrassment in our culture. But if I'm there every week, people are going to warm up to me and they'll see me every weekend, you know, and maybe people who work on Saturdays and they'll just be like, oh, it's you. And I'm hoping to make friends and I'm hoping that people will, you know, bring me a cup of coffee and become my friend, you know, and talk about these things in a non-threatening, informative way. And if I'm there every weekend, they're going to get to know me. I mean, obviously, if it's pouring with rain, I can't because all the paper would be destroyed. But I plan to be there because this is what I want to do with my time. I love being outside and everything. And, I've spent so much time on the computer and doing so much. And I think it's been really effective. And I don't plan to stop doing articles and to stop doing my podcast. But I'm finally, you know, out in the community. And I know it's going to be slow in the beginning, but eventually, you know, people, this makes sense to a lot more people. And unless they're told, they're never going to have the chance to have this make sense to them. So I'm quite happy to sit there by myself. I'll figure out how to go to the bathroom. If I have to pack everything up and carry it into the toilet with me, I'll go. I'm taking my food there and I'm sitting outside and I watch the birds sing. And it's actually quite relaxing because I've spent so many months hunched over my computer and going, oh no, the web page is so slow and stuff. So I really think that good things are starting to happen. And the fact that Auckland City Council came through so wonderfully for me, I feel like, and they even put on my actual certificate as to have an informational stall about animal rights to give to the public. And I just thought, Hallelujah, bingo. I mean, thank you, you know. And so I'm really, really grateful. Thank you, Auckland City Council. And like I said, they've given me permission to be there 7 days a week from 9:30 to 5:30. I mean, I can't, but if I wanted to, I could. And they've given me the best location in the city. And it's summer's just beginning. And the vegan restaurant has just opened. I mean, I haven't made an announcement about them because last podcast, I was kind of upset, and so I didn't think about anything positive. I was in a very negative. It had been a very negative 3 weeks, but all this positive stuff happened. So the vegan restaurant actually opened over a month ago when it was just the best news in the world. Actual proper 100% vegan restaurant in Auckland, promoting veganism, promoting peace, promoting nonviolence, promoting animal rights. I mean, it's just a dream come true. So I'm trying to help them as well. I need them to stay in business. We need them to stay in business. We need to support them. We want people to go there and eat. I want people to go there and eat. So I'm promoting them very, very heavily as well. And like I say, in their literature, I make sure I tell people, look, you know, in our culture, vegetarianism means, you know, eating dairy products. Well, dairy products is one of the worst things that we're doing. So replace the word vegetarian with veganism every time you see it. But the good thing about them is they have a lot of stuff on the environment, which, you know, interestingly enough, I guess this is quite typical, but a couple of people who came up to me, I was like, oh yeah, it's animal rights, because they'll see the animal rights, because the abolitionist approach pamphlet says animal rights. So I see people glance at that and then quickly glance away and walk faster, you know. But a couple of people came up and they wanted to know about the environment. So the people are already turned on to, I mean, it's taken them a while, but they're already turned on to how bad it is for the environment. Sadly, they're more worried about themselves than the animals, so they care about the environmental issue. I even literally had somebody say to me, "No, I don't really care about the animals. I want to know about the environment." And I was like, "Well, it's actually all related, but here you go." So good thing for me that Golden Age Cafe, and I'm going to totally promote them now. Golden Age Cafe has given me literature that includes environmental facts and figures. Also, there's environmental facts and figures on the abolitionist approach pamphlet as well. And I'm going to make a New Zealand pamphlet that talks directly about New Zealand's issues with regard to animal rights and veganism. So it's all go. All right, so here's my promotion. Vegan Cafe in Auckland, I've added it to Adam's Vegan FM's database of vegan restaurants, which he's been doing so much amazing work. Tireless advocate, just incredible amount of stuff. And the vegan help on Twitter is so amazing. I haven't done as much with it, but I know that a lot of people have, and I'm seeing all these people saying, I'm going vegan," and that's sort of something that Adam started. So if you're on Twitter, subscribe to Vegan Help or tweet for Vegan Help, and there's people on there who are learning about veganism through this. I don't know exactly how it works. That's probably because I'm not very good at that stuff. Somehow or other, it works, and people can, you can. I'm going to try to figure out so I can get more involved. But anyway, Adam's been doing that. So anyway, Adam has this database and I edit it. It's Golden Age. So if you're in Auckland, New Zealand, you can go to Victoria Street and I'll tell you the exact address. I just have to look it up again. All right, first of all, I'll give you the website link, which is also on Adam's Vegan FM, and I'm going to post a link to his database and things as well. It's called Golden Age Vegan Restaurant, and the slogan is vegan, do it for love, be veg, go green, save the planet. And I'm very strongly telling them many, many times, I'm saying, listen, in New Zealand, you have to say vegan, you cannot say vegetarian. I'm really saying that to them. They said, oh, okay. I said, listen, in our culture, you got to say vegan. And they're like, okay. So it's www.veganrestaurant.co.nz, and you can get to the main restaurant. I have to tell you that the chef used to work for the Sultan of Brunei. This is no joke. The food is unbelievable. So it's on, let me see, it's on 61 Victoria Street West, Auckland City. And it's open 7 days a week, Monday from 10 to 4, Thursday to Friday from 10 to 9 p.m. So they go right from breakfast to dinner, and Saturday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. So brunch to dinner, and then Sunday they're open in the evenings for dinner from 4 to 8. They weren't going to open on Sundays, and then there was a demand for it. So that's really, really good news. So you can, if you're in Auckland, you have a vegan restaurant, 100% vegan. None of this vegan friendly. It's vegan all the way, and it's from cakes, the food's incredible. I mean, vegan food is incredible anyway, but and so I'm just really, really happy. I think that everything's starting to come together, and in a really, really positive way. So that's all my news. I think that I've rambled and rambled this episode, a little bit disorganized, but that's sort of the way I do it. I'm really hoping to get Corey Wren on, and I think I kind of messed up because she was ready a while ago, and I hadn't done a podcast episode, and it was during that time where I hadn't done an episode, and we got in touch on Skype, and she's all ready to go, and then I didn't do it, and then now I'm like, I don't know where she is, and she's very busy, and she might be even back at school and might not be able to do it, so I might have missed the opportunity. So Corey, if you're listening, I really do want you to come on the show. I posted a link to her. She's the Roanoke Vegan Examiner, really amazing advocate, great articles. Want to have her on. Anybody who wants to come on the show, talk about veganism and the abolitionist movement, or if you have objections, or you want to discuss things, I'll give it a go. And we'll see how good I am at being an advocate for it. Please don't call me militant, aggressive, fundamental, or extreme because I want to promote veganism, please. But that's okay. So lots of really good stuff, and I'm gonna leave you with all that good news. And I'll be out there in the streets, Aotea Square or on Queen Elizabeth Square, hopefully Saturdays and Sundays, or at least one of those days, and summer's just beginning, and I plan to take photos, and I plan to take videos of people who come over, and I think that more people will start to come over when they see me there. They'll get curious, and even people who are shy will build up the courage to come over and say, "Oh, I've seen you here before. What are you doing?" Oh, and I actually did make some big signs. I now have big signs to put on the table. I hadn't got around to it, so I have a big sign saying "The Abolitionist Movement," and it has the vegan logo that Vish designed. This really cool logo that he designed, which is a black star, and it has the word "vegan" on it, and a picture of a dog and a pig, a silhouette, and it's such a cool design. And it's I mean, I've been using it everywhere for the New Zealand sort of abolitionist movement. Vish is down with that. He designed it for that. And then on the same side, I have abolished speciesism, and then on the other side, I have abolished speciesism in big words, and then I have abolitionist approach website, www.abolitionistapproach.com. And that's like, so kind of like not a banner, but like on three sides. I sit behind the table because I am kind of lazy, so I do sit. I do sit there, and I look at people, and I read, or I draw, or I just be there, because I'm not like the type of people to go up in people's faces. Maybe other people might argue and say that that's the right thing to do, but I have to sort of do what I'm comfortable with as well. And even I'm doing my best. All of this stuff is incredibly unnatural to me. I never wanted to get involved in any kind of advocacy at all, but I'm compelled to do this because I've discovered the truth. I'm compelled to do this for the animals. So no matter how awkward I feel, no matter how strange it is to me, I do it because I want to do it. Nobody's making me do it, but I am, I'm choosing to do it. So, I do feel a bit awkward my first day, but I'm not able to kind of go up to people, and I'm like, I really think if I'm there every week, and I become like a almost like a personality, or almost like a kind of an attraction in a way. People will start coming over. I know the New Zealand culture. I'm starting to settle back into it, and I can see people glancing at me. And New Zealanders are very, they don't. Oh, well, I guess every culture. I mean, if you don't want to, I could go up and give you a pamphlet, I guess, and you could keep walking, and that's fine. It might make a difference. But I'm very uncomfortable with going up to people who are on their way somewhere and saying, here, take one of these," even though I know other people do it and it's very successful for them. I think that I have to do what I think is going to work. So for me, it's going to work to just be part of, like, to be a regular feature and to almost be an attraction until people just can't stand it anymore and they come over to me and say, "What are you doing?" And then I can talk to them, and they'll almost feel like they know me. And I want people to walk past and say, "Hey, Liz," maybe they even take a little time, and I can work on them, because all they need to do is just hear it. And it's slow in the beginning, but believe me, they wouldn't have heard it before. The things that I'm going to say to them are things that nobody's ever said to them before. And so that's what I'm all about. My goodness, I've been talking for an hour. I need to go. There was one other thing. I also want to thank Stan, who is not—he's not going to be actively involved at the moment with any more animal advocacy. He's got some other things going on, but he is an amazing guitar player, and he does open mics. And he had came up with this fantastic idea, where we read out something from one of the Peaceful Prairie pamphlets, where they talk about number 35 and they talk about number 6, who's a mother cow. They talk about number 6, who's a cow, number 35, who's her calf. And you know the way that they're written is so beautiful. So he played the guitar, and we went to an open mic, and we read it as spoken word poetry to these young people. And it was it's very touching, and it's very sad, but it's very effective. And it was all his idea. It was unbelievably creative. We actually did a practice session at his house the first day, and there were some mistakes, and we did change a couple of words, but it's on YouTube. But rather than post a YouTube, well, I'll post a YouTube link, but there's a mistake in there, but I'm going to try to edit out that mistake as best I can. I'm going to play it. So at the end of this podcast episode, I'm going to play the audio, and it's a very rough mix. I actually didn't know that Stan was going to post it, so we recorded it, and then I left, and then he wanted to send me the file to practice, but because it was such a big file, he just posted it to YouTube, so it hasn't even been mixed, so the guitar is louder than the voice, but you'll get the idea. So if anybody wants to do this, I thought it was really effective. It was such a brilliant idea. Everybody else was singing songs about love. There were some people singing songs about, I don't know, substance abuse. They were all creative. They were all young. A lot of them were vegetarians, we found out. And then I went up and I did this thing, and I would do it again. If you're listening, whenever you're ready, just let me know. And we go around to these open mics, and we just do animal advocacy, but in an artistic way. And it was really effective. People liked it. So I hope you enjoy. It's a very rough mix. I would love to get hold of the original so that I could mix it properly, but I'm not going to pressure Stan too much. He's got a lot of stuff going on, so this is what we've got for now. I might not be able to edit out my mistake. It depends on the chord changes. So anyway, enjoy. And once again, thanks, Stan, for doing that. And my hands were shaking. I was up there in front of this microphone. I don't perform. I'm not a performer. And they were all looking at me, and they were all such talented singers. I mean, I was actually amazed at the talent in this room. These all singer-songwriters, all original music. I was so proud. I'm like, yay, go Kiwis, you know? And then I got up there, and I actually made a mistake, of course, in the performance, but so nervous. My hands were just shaking. But I did it. And now next time, because I do plan to do stuff like that again, especially if Stan wants to join me. Anyway, I'll do it again, but have a listen, and I'll post a YouTube link as well. So thanks for listening to my rambling, and I'll be back hopefully next week. Bye. Number
35 is crying out for his mother. He will live his entire short life as an orphan. His only experience of motherly love will be his yearning for it. Like most baby calves, he will try to suckle the fingers of the factory workers. Himself will be corralled into trucks and hauled to slaughter. As he will be dragged onto the killing floor, he will still be looking for his mother. still desperately needing her nurturing presence, especially at that dark time when he will be frightened, and needing her more than ever in the midst of the terrible sights and sounds and scents of death all around him. He is the free-range veal on our plates. Thousands of dairy cows grieving the loss of her baby. Just like humans, cows need to give birth in order to produce milk. She will be milked relentlessly through repeated cycles of artificial pregnancies and bereavements. Her only experience of motherhood will be that of a mother's worst loss. She is the face